You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. The UN estimates that at least 8 million Ukrainian refugees have been recorded across Europe. Before Russia's invasion, the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan prompted another refugee crisis. These global conflicts, among others, have triggered a mass displacement on an unprecedented scale. And while the United States is still accepting many fewer refugees than before the Trump administration and the COVID pandemic, some folks are making it here. In the last year, Snohomish County alone has welcomed several thousand Ukrainian and Afghan refugees. But their legal status is creating challenges for aid groups trying to provide help. To expedite their entry, the Biden administration opened paths for Ukrainians and Afghans to come to the U.S. on a temporary program called humanitarian parole. Van Din Kuno is the executive director of Refugee and Immigrant Services Northwest, a refugee-led nonprofit based in Everett. Hi, Van. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So I want to start by going back to the early days of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Last year, the first group of Ukrainian refugees arrived in Snohomish County, where Refugee and Immigrant Services Northwest is based, in March of 2022. What was the process like getting those initial Ukrainian families settled?
Well, since you know, we were very surprised to receive Ukrainians in March of 2022 because all the information we got from the state and the federal until they told us, don't worry about the Ukrainian not coming at least 6 months from now. So when Mark arrived on that day, we had the first two families show up at our door and told us they came from Ukraine and they arrived here through the southern border. They had children under age of 9 years old. We didn't believe it. So I called the state and informed them and let them know that I had Ukrainian that came from the southern border. And the answer from them is, are they there yet?
Huh.
And I said, they're not there. They're already here. They're next to me right now. And I need some direction how to provide services for them. And so that the start of the resettlement, Ukrainian in Snohomish County.
So it seemed like the federal government and the state government weren't aware or weren't prepared for the speed at which Ukrainian refugees would be arriving.
Well, it's absolutely not true. The state and the federal, including us, we're not prepared to see the speech of Ukrainian arrived in our county. So the invasion took place on February 24. And less than 2 weeks later, we already had the first Ukrainian family arrive.
Mm.
And so nobody can prepare for that kind of resettlements. And as a refugee myself in 1975, you know, so when we left Vietnam, we stopped by Philippines and Guam and the other island before we actually allowed to get into United States. So that allowed our country have time to prepare and had a system in place because the Ukrainian came in on a different kind of resettlement. Either they take off by themselves, go through seven countries, arrive to our country from the southern border, or later on, they had a family sponsor them. And so the resettlement of Ukrainian is not the normal resettlement we have it in the last 50 years.
That's interesting. Do you have an estimate of how many, or maybe you know the exact number, how many Ukrainian refugees has your organization helped since the start of the invasion?
I had the exact numbers. The number is 3,441 men, women, and children arrived in Snohomish County.
And what have been the biggest challenges for getting them settled, comfortable, you know, getting kids in school, things like that?
Well, you know, getting get in school is the least worries I have. The most worry I have is because we don't have the system resettlement Ukrainian. And so they came into our country and not the refugee. They came in at humanitarian parole. So the people who left Ukraine and arrived in our country in March, they have 1 year stay in the United States. And also the people from March to April 24, they also have 1 year. And after that, they have 2 years stay. And the system could not keep up with the number of Ukraine arrived. So they had to apply for work authorizations. And some people applied since April 2022 and haven't received the work authorization. Recently, the system began catch up. And so now you have to wait about 3 months to get your work authorization. So without the work permit, the Ukraine cannot work. And so they had to rely totally in the community and also the agency like mine to support them with the housing assistance. And we did apply for them for food assistance. And so they'd be able to get that and medical assistance. But, you know, the Ukrainians want to work. The roadblock is no work authorization for them to go to work. And the employer doesn't want to hire them without the proper document. And the second challenge for us is housing. Some of the Ukrainians is 6, 7, 8, 9 people in family. And our apartment, the most is 3, very seldom might be able to find 4-bedroom apartment. And if you find a house, it's so expensive. You're talking about $2,600, $2,700 per month for the family. So that's the two big challenges we have, the immigration process and housing.
So I have a question about this humanitarian parolee status. Our understanding is that there was a lawsuit over this, and the U.S. Citizen and Immigration Services announced that it would start to allow Ukrainian and Afghan humanitarian parolees to get work status. Is that something that's trickled down to you and your everyday work? Have you seen the work status start to begin to be granted faster after this lawsuit, or has that not materialized yet?
Well, generals haven't been materialized yet. The reason is the employers is they are on the front line. They don't, you know, keep up with all the changes in immigration law and you know, the executive orders and the other thing. And so they still hesitant to hiring the Ukrainians if they don't have work authorization or social security number. And that both system, they try to catch up. Because since the beginning of invasions, we already have about 30,000 of Ukrainians already in the country, either come in as a visitor, student, or business. They be able to change it to the temporary protected status. On top of them, we have 151,000 come in through the channel of the humanitarian parole. Plus, we have 36,000 came from the southern border. And if you add it up together, in 12 months, you have to process paper for over 200,000 people. And that's a big task. I don't see any agency can hire people quick enough, train them, and they'd be able to process the paper.
And again, to be clear, this humanitarian parolee status, it's different from a traditional refugee status. As you said, these folks will have status in the U.S. for maybe 1 or 2 years. As this war drags on, what is next for folks who are humanitarian parolees? Will they have to reapply? Has the U.S. government issued any guidance about what's going to happen down the line?
Right now, we got no directive from the federal telling us if this group of people can stay for another year, can stay another 2 years. We put in the application and we are waiting for the instruction from Washington, D.C.
If people want to help, Van, what is the number one need that your organization has in order to support these humanitarian parolees, refugees that you're assisting? Ukrainians. Of course, before this, it was Afghan refugees that you, I'm sure, are still assisting. How can people assist your organization?
Well, you know, if any donations, it's zip code the number 425-388-9285. We have staff online, and we're happy to accept the donation because the Afghan, they came in about the same time with the Ukraine. Because I received the Afghan, the first group of Afghan I received in February 10, 2022. And the next group of Ukrainian come right after that in the first week of March 2022. So we're helping the two groups coming in almost at the same time. And any help from the community member is really helpful because these two groups, they help me to accept the assistance from the community.
And do you have the number of Afghan refugees that you've assisted so far?
Well, I have over 1,000.
You know, before we go, Van, I wanted to take a moment to note the big picture on refugee policy. You know, globally, the need to safely resettle people has never been greater. But in recent years, the United States has fallen far short of even its relatively modest goals of welcoming refugees. What needs to happen for the Biden administration to fulfill its target of bringing 125,000 refugees to the United States this fiscal year?
Well, because in the last administrations, the refugee program screenings is no existing. So right now, the Biden administration, they have to rebuild that program. They have to train their staff and they have to send them overseas to do the screening because the refugee want to come to this country, they have to be completely vested. They have to go through 5 agencies, and including the FBIs and the Homeland Security and the others. So the process takes about 2 years to be vested. And now we don't have staff overseas to do that kind of screening. So I don't think this year we'll be able to meet the goal for 125,000 refugees coming in. So the reason why we had a humanitarian parole, that's the quickest way to bring in quote and unquote unofficial refugee. And the humanitarian parole program is very, very complicated. You have to renew your work permits, you know, every year. You have to renew your temporary protective status every year or every 2 years. You have no path to become a receive the green card and eventually to become a U.S. citizen. And right now, this program is helping you for the short time, and we hope you will return to your country. And that's what the definition of humanitarian parole is.
Got it. And so this program is sort of the stopgap for now because the refugee program was so decimated under the Trump administration and has still not been fully rebuilt. This is what we have for now. Yeah.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all at this point. Because the first year of Biden administration, they'd be able to bring in less than 20,000 people. And even though that time he said he's willing to bring in 65,000. And this year, he's talking about 125,000. I had no doubt he will never meet that goal, 125,000. Because right now, we're the end of February. So we had 7 months left on the fiscal year. And you still have over 100,000 people in the next 7 years when you don't have staff to do the screening overseas. So the goal will not meet for 2023.
Well, thank you so much. Van Din Kuno is the Executive Director of Refugee and Immigrant Services Northwest. I really appreciate you sharing what your organization has been doing and experiencing as you're trying to help Ukrainian and Afghan refugees find a safe and stable home here in the Puget Sound area. Very much appreciate the conversation.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And if you want to learn more about Refugee and Immigrant Services Northwest, you can, and how you can help aid new refugees, check out their website, risnw, ukrainewar.org. And we're going to end with a song recorded earlier last year in the first months of the war in Ukraine.
Батько наш Бандера, Україна, мати, ми за Україну підемо.
That's Ukrainian soldiers in a Mariupol bunker singing the patriotic song, Our Father Bandera. You're listening to Soundside. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to Soundside. Don't forget you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org or on your favorite podcast app.